a time at daybreak, set especially apart, to think on him who is so dear to our hearts, singing and praying, communing as friend to friend, waiting patiently on him our needs to attend, while sharing with hundreds God's grace from above, we worship and praise him and learn more of his love. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions. What an opportunity, indeed what a privilege, to be able to share Christ with you for 30 minutes every morning, Monday through Friday, as together we just lean our arms upon heaven's windowsill, gaze into the face of our Savior, and then with that vision in our hearts, turn strong to meet our day. God indeed can make something beautiful of your life and of my life. And no matter how marred we may be in the hands of the potter, he can make us brand new. That is the wonderful, glorious news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the fact that he can take something that is broken to pieces and make it brand new. Do you remember the words of Jeremiah in chapter 18 of his book? The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." So you see, even if the piece of clay, if that vessel is marred in the hands of the potter, he can break it and make it brand new into a vessel that is pleasing in his sight. O Lord, remake us today. Forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, our failings. So often we strive and we struggle and we try, but alas, we come so short of what you really want us to be. But from our heart we do desire your will. With this carnal flesh we so often give in to its appetites. Forgive us for those things. And make us stronger in the Lord and in the power of your might. Take our vessel today, break it, and make it brand new. And give us something worth living for. So often we drink of the dregs of the cup of this world that leads to emptiness. Lord, give us something worth living for. The bread of life, the living fountain. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Life was shattered, hope was gone, crushing the load that I bore.
Something worth living for.
The shepherd knows what pastures are best for his sheep, and they must not question or doubt, but trustingly follow him. Perhaps he sees that the best pastures for some of us are to be found in the midst of opposition or of earthly trials. If he leads you there, you may be sure they are green for you, and you will grow and be made strong by feeding there. Perhaps he sees that the best waters for you to walk beside will be raging waves of trouble and sorrow. If this should be the case, he will make them still waters for you, and you must go and lie down beside them and let them have all their blessed influences upon you. Doesn't the Bible say, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths"? And throughout the Psalms, you read where the man of God says, "He leadeth me. He leadeth me." In pastures green? Not always. Sometimes he who knoweth best in kindness leadeth me in weary ways where heavy shadows be. So whether on the hilltops high and fair I dwell, or in the sunless valleys where the shadows lie, what matter? He is there. I believe that is the positive attitude of the true Christian. It matters not whether he be on the mountaintop or down deep in the valley, whether it be along still waters or troubled waters, whether it be in pastures green or on the backside of the desert. If God is there, that's all that matters. Here's a sentence I came across the other day I thought was just tremendous, and I put a circle around it. "The hand that holds the worlds, my steps is guiding." Let me give that to you again. "The hand that holds the worlds, my steps is guiding." If you really believe that, you would never be scared again. You would never be downhearted or discouraged or depressed. You would never burn out. You would never be filled with doubts and unbelief if you really believed that the hand that holds the worlds, your steps is guiding. Well, the Bible promises, doesn't it? If in all your ways you will acknowledge him. Now that's the condition. If in all your ways you will have a heart for God. I mean, in spite of all your failures and mistakes and blunders, if you have a heart for God and your desire is toward him, even though your experience often may be like Romans chapter 7 instead of Romans chapter 8, and you may end it by saying, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Because so often the things you want to do, you don't do, and the things you don't want to do is what you wind up doing. And there is that struggle and battle going on within you. The old man wanting his way, but the new man in Christ wanting his way. And oftentimes we fail and come short of God's glory. But if your heart wants God, and if in all your ways you will reach out to him and acknowledge him, the Lord has promised that he will direct your paths. And again, "The hand that holds the worlds, your steps is guiding." So why be scared about anything? And dear friend, those aren't empty words or some nice sounding platitudes or empty cliches that are all worn out. It is God's word, and we can depend upon it. A lot of things that people tell us, even friends and loved ones, that you can't always count on it, because we're all fickle and we all have feet of clay. But when God tells you something, you can count on it always. Is God a man that he should lie? Or the Son of Man that he should repent? Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And so, knowing all this, it really should not matter whether I be on the mountain top of ecstasy or down deep in the valley of despair. if Jesus has hold of my hand and my heart is after him and I know that God is here, then we should always have a song in our hearts. I love these words of a hymn written by John Newton. But it's entitled, How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours. And I think the words are tremendous. And it goes right along with what I was saying. That it matters not about life, circumstances, situations, or conditions. If my hand is in his hand and Christ lives within my heart, we ought to be able to sing through every storm and be happy in Jesus regardless. Anyway, in this old hymn, John Newton writes, How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy with him, December is as pleasant as May. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resigned. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. You see, if Christ fills the heart, then the month of December is as pleasant as May. But if Christ does not fill the heart, then the midsummer sun shines but dim, and the fields strive in vain to look gay. June is miserable without Jesus in the heart. But December, January, February are beautiful and wonderful when Christ fills the heart. He makes the difference, so that even the things of nature take on a different look. Do you know, when the heart is forgiven and there is no guilt in the soul, and you know that there is nothing between your soul and the Savior, why, even the things of nature look happy, and even the trees of the field appear to be clapping their hands. The snow is whiter, the grass is greener, the sky is bluer. Now, none of that has changed, and the trees aren't clapping their hands, but it looks like it, because the heart is right with God. But when joy has withered up within us, and the Spirit of God has departed from us like he did from Samson, and our lives turn cold and indifferent, and we have broken fellowship with the Lord, then there is nothing in this life, not even the beauty of nature, that can bring happiness and joy to the heart. Well, I don't want to live like that. And if my heart is cold, I want the Lord to warm it up. If I'm walking far away from him, I want him to restore that fellowship so that I can walk and talk with Jesus in intimate fellowship. So that when I look around, even at the things of nature, it will seem that the very trees are clapping their hands for joy because my heart is right with God and I'm in step with the Lord. You remember that verse found in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12? For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Oh, praise God. When we become redeemed and born again, and our sins are forgiven, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the angels of heaven are singing, and the very trees of the field are all clapping their hands for joy.
Yeah.
I was reading to you a moment ago some of the words of John Newton's hymn, How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours. Let me read two more stanzas of that great hymn. He wrote, His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music his voice. His presence disperses my gloom, and makes all within me rejoice. I should, were he always thus nigh, have nothing to wish or to fear. No mortal so happy as I, my summer would last all the year. And then in the last stanza, it ends with a melancholy note. Dear Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my sun and my song, say, why do I languish and pine, and why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from my sky, thy soul-cheering presence restore. Oh, take me unto thee on high, where winter and clouds are no more. Certainly, without God's presence to cheer the soul, nothing else can make a true Christian happy, because the Lord is my song and my shield and has become my salvation. And if I have not the Lord and the sense of his presence, there is no song for me. Is that how you feel? Well, those words were written by John Newton long, long time ago, back in the 17th century. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus' face I cannot see. There was another hymn that he wrote that I'm sure is much more familiar to you. One of the greatest hymns ever written. Written by John Newton, who was a sailor turned to Christ. He loved the sea, but he was far away from God. And one day, on a long voyage from Brazil, South America, going back home to Southampton, England, he fell to reading a book entitled The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. And there came a vicious storm that threatened to send him and his crew to the bottom of the ocean. And through it all, God began to tug at the heart of that sinner. And John Newton surrendered his heart and life to Jesus Christ. The account of his life is so wretched. He was so vile, so filthy, so unclean, that even when the ship would pull into the harbors of Africa, the natives were warned to stay away from John Newton, lest he corrupt their morals. He's the one who wrote this hymn about how that God's grace could save a wretch like me. He knew what he was talking about. He was a wretch, and grace found him and saved him.
Will you
I would just like to pray for you. And as I pray for you, I want you to pray for me. And together, let's just reach out and touch the hem of Christ's garment. Maybe the Lord wants to save some wretches like he did John Newton. Change their lives totally and completely. Can he do it? Well, he did it in the 17th century. And yes, indeed, he does it today. Hundreds of thousands are turning to him all over the world. Lord Jesus, we turn to you with all our hearts. You saved a wretch like John Newton. You saved a wretch like Saul of Tarsus and turned him into an instrument of mercy. So, Lord, touch our hearts. There's nobody impossible for you to touch, to save, to change, to fill with your fullness. So take our lives today, empty us of ourselves, and fill us with yourself. How well do we know that it's not good enough just to be religious? We've got to be saved. We have to experience that spiritual crisis, that miracle of salvation. Lord, grant it, give it to us. If any of us don't have it, give it to us in this very moment as we open the door of our hearts to Jesus. We acknowledge the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we believe in Jesus and receive him into our hearts this day. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. For I believe in God. Well, this is John Thrasher. Thank you for joining with me in morning devotions during the past half hour. What a delight, what a privilege, what an opportunity to share Christ with you. Have a good day. May God's very best be yours. Walk with him, love him with all your heart. Don't let anything come between you and God. Don't. Thank you.
Is not made that way.